We're looking at Finding God's Will for Your Life, adapted from Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer. So we've been talking about how God is our guide. We may seek His will. God can and does guide, seeking divine guidance, and then failing to obtain guidance. There were six pitfalls. First was unwillingness to think. You think it's going to just come to you. Unwillingness to think and plan ahead, unwillingness to take advice, unwillingness to suspect one's own heart, unwillingness to discount personal magnetism, the fact that he said it in a flashy way doesn't mean it's true, and then unwillingness to wait for the Lord. Tonight, just a very brief thought, our sovereign guide, it completes a thought, so I stopped there, but two thoughts. First, God's will is not one path alone. People will ask, what if I didn't do what God wanted me to do? I missed my calling. I felt that he wanted me to be a missionary, but I didn't do it. Do I spend the rest of my life out of his will? Well, I think the Bible is quite clear. God's will is not lost to us if we miss a turn. While his first choice for us might have been better, maybe have been easier, even if it looked harder, he takes our mistakes and our foolishness, our follies, into his plan for us. Joel 2:25, even Israel's horrible backslidden condition, he promised, I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you. When the locusts come and eat all the vegetation down to the nubs, it is usually years before that gets back. But he says, by my blessing, I can restore the years that you have lost with this. The years that they spent up to it, and then the locusts came and took away all that harvest, and then eating everything down to the ground. They had have to start tilling and everything over again when the season was right. Let me give you some examples. Jonah went to Nineveh, didn't he? That was a second chance. God could have had him eaten by a crocodile. Wouldn't have come back out of that one. See? Jesus restored Peter. Had prophesied that he would betray him three times. Deny him three times, and yet used him mightily. Again, John Mark was restored to fellowship with God and Paul. And you remember John Mark was the one who couldn't take the mission trip, went back home to mama. And yet, in 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote when he was actually in the Roman prison in which he would be killed, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, he says to Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So Mark had come back. Mark had a second chance and seemed to do it very well. So God's will is not one path alone. Let's settle on that. You can't just misstep, blindly seek your own will and then lose it forever. Then the second and last thing is God sets new paths before us. This is a larger way to look at all of this. Perhaps the new path is the one he intended all along. If you think of Joseph's dream of leadership, that suddenly by the wickedness of his brothers, he's sold into slavery in another country. There he seems to rise up, and then he's lied about by Potiphar's wife. He's sent to prison. This is about as far from leadership as you can get, except he was sort of made the leader of the prison. But it was from there he had direct contact, could gain contact with the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh made him a leader second only to him. And that was the path. Now, this wasn't his fault, as far as we can tell. Nothing about Joseph seems to be his fault. He named his sons names that mean he was grieved, he was down, he was, you know, so on, because he was cut off from his family. But besides being unhappy, it wasn't his fault. But God took him in this unusual path to fulfillment. If you think of the power of Jonah's message after the story of his being swallowed by a great fish, I believe that it could have been just the miracle of God that Nineveh was ready to believe when he came. He was not a very good preacher. He had about 8 words in the Hebrew. Yet 40 days, God's going to destroy this place. Good riddance. And that was it, you know. But they just fell on their knees. They started tearing their clothes. They started praying out to Jehovah God. And it occurs to me that the story of a man that was running away from the God who controls the weather caused a great storm, and they threw him overboard, perhaps even seeing that the animal came up and swallowed him. And then to find him back at Nineveh, this would be a pretty strange story. And you know, it had to get out. He comes walking up to the house with stomach acid, eaten clothes and stuff, and smelling pretty much like fish, I would think, whatever else the whale had swallowed. He was stewing in that for 3 days. His wife comes to the door and says, okay, this is going to be a good one. But word went out. He was in the belly of this giant fish for 3 days. And God said, I have a job for you and you will do it. And he said, yeah, I think I will. By the time he gets there, or when he shows up, who is this guy? Sort of a scent of fish about him. And they say, he's the one. He's the one. The God who controls the weather. The God who controls life and death. So I think the fishermen telling the tales, superstitious fishermen telling the tales, and this entire crew evidently got saved, because they were, after they threw him over, they were sacrificing to Jehovah. And at the beginning of the trip, they didn't know who Jehovah was. So I think it might be the very power of his reclamation is what gave great emphasis to his message.